what I need to get cleaned up if I'm, you know, if I'm on the path here about those that embrace best.
Okay, very good. We'll go with that. Numbers chapter 1, verse 52. And the children of Israel shall pitch their tents, every man by his own camp, and every man by his own standard throughout their host. Interesting.
Right.
So, Ion, are you saying by his own standard would be the fulcrum in your own pentad?
It would, and that's the shift of that pentad, like as you've laid out perfectly and beautifully with the reference to the angels, and like Gregory has laid out within the context of the process, okay, and like Brian has laid out with the throne of the merging physical non-physical, they all are as important as the other. But from which pentad would be the center, that's where it applies. And
okay,
as Bob said clearly, they're perfectly easily interchangeable. And you can't really point one as more important than the other. They all merge together. But if you have a focus, just like your completed DNA, you'll start at one strand and then it reverberates and repeats from that wherever you start.
Okay. So that would be your standard.
That's correct.
So if you're in a conversation, like let's say, like Greg and I were talking, and I was focused on one part of the fulcrum, and he was focused on another, that's his own individual or my own individual, and neither one is wrong, it's just that particular standard. So you would lay off of that aspect of it and just focus on the overall, just as long as they've got a part of the pentad, and they've got a fulcrum point, that's what is the point there.
Okay, Jenny, that is exactly right. So when do you get to the seventh vial in chapter 16, verse 17?
I don't know.
Okay. Tell us what that says.
Oh, the seventh vial. Hold on just a second.
Which is chapter 16, verse 17.
Okay, hang on.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah.
And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done.
That is nigh.
It is done is nigh?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It went based on what you just said, applying it to the seventh vial, the it is done now starts to get you heels clicking. Okay? Because the it is done mean is not coming, not waiting, not developing, not what are all those wordy words that we use all the time that everyone uses like they know what they mean. It is done, meaning fait au complete, when you get to the seventh vial.
Okay.
And so, Brian, could you read that again? What is that? What part of the Bible is that?
Chapter 16, verse 17, the seventh vial.
Right. Could you, I know what that refers to. Is that what you're referring to, Ion? What I know?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Could I hear that again?
Please.
And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done.
That's in Revelations?
Yes. 16, verse 17.
Right, so it sounds like the ending of the preparatory stuff.
Yes, very good. In the seventh month, that's exactly right.
Right, in the seventh month. So,
which is this month.
Which is today. So the larger preparation Is that since Ion showed up, or the preparation since 911, or since
you did? No. We're good. We're solid. We won't beat you up, Bob. You humans thin the veil. You humans, for such a day as this, for such timing as this, ushered in non-physical to give you a representation or a hand in this process to bring it forth.
Absolutely.
And that's what this conversation is regarding. And now we've
no, no, wait, wait. When you say this, you mean the last 2 minutes or the last 3 hours? What's this conversation?
The one that started with Revelations Rewrite.
Yeah, you mean this whole this series, but the 3-4 hours we've been doing.
Don't you find it it odd that there are those who engaged Revelations who were not available for this interaction?
Right.
Don't you find it odd that there are others who, if they had delved into it a bit more, even though Greggy helped every way he could, and Brian helped every way we could, and Jenny's just trying to get happy with the whole process of fitting into this whole thing, that others could have been here as well? Would they not have been in a desirous position, just as Brian clearly? Because actually, this is Brian's manifestation. By the way, now it was JW's too. JW was ready to give up a testicle. He was busted to get to here, but it was falling not in any realm that was, he was pushing. Then you don't push Bob. Bob will go with you anywhere, but you don't push Bob. Now just don't push Bob, because it ain't gonna serve you long. But if you can get easy with it, Bob is easy. He'll show up and he'll play harder than anybody on the team. But you ain't gonna he ain't gonna pinch hit for nobody. Okay? Brian's desire ushered forth an engaging process. Actually, he laid it out of how to do it and what would be appropriate and what would be okay. And that's what made this even available. Cause he had a desire. He wanted to talk to somebody about the thing that euphorically was giving new girth to his life force in this process of this thing he's embraced that he didn't even get all of, but he wanted to have a way to have conversation. Now, we didn't quite keep by the rules and regulations because we were supposed to be on the sidelines and being real quiet and shh, don't interrupt and that kind of stuff. And we tried, Bob. We really did try best we could. And we'll try to behave. But the insights that are being laid out here are the very canticles, Virginia, that
yes,
will be...
Yes, I heard Ion. I thought earlier when I wrote it all out. I got it.
Yep.
When was that, right. Virginia? Earlier today, or when did you write it out?
No, earlier tonight, Bob.
Right. Yeah, during this you wrote something out.
Yeah, because this was the canticle. Remember our conversation on my reading on Saturday?
Yeah.
And we talked about the canticle that would be laid out, and we laid it out tonight. I saw it all. I see exactly. I saw it all.
Right.
Somebody's got to teach him the Song of Moses.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to come up with the showbread.
Right.
Somebody's got to deliver it, Brian.
Okay.
Okay.
Somebody's got to know the road, Brian.
Who's
somebody's
that?
Got to tote that bale without any fear.
What? It delivers it? Song of Moses, what was the third thing?
Showbread. The showbread.
Showbread, right.
Somebody's got to make it. Somebody's got to talk about it. Somebody's got to deliver it. We got to fit the complete right here.
Now.
And someone's got to put it down. Someone's got to naysay it.
Yeah, somebody's got to. Somebody's right.
Disturber. That.
Somebody's got to bring it to orgasm. So that's Bob. We'll let Bob have contrast to bring it to orgasm.
Bob is the master of gizgasm. That's my
gizgasms while you wait. That's right.
I'm the original lover who loves.
There you go. And now, here we go now. This isn't a complete thing, though. There are others. There are others. They've actually privately already been identified. Okay? Because, see...
What do you mean, others?
Others will come.
Okay.
And be others part of this conversation.
Absolutely. 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 They'll come, participate, and bring even fuller dynamics of this process. Okay? And that's beautiful. No problem. No problem. But just always keep in the back of your mind numbers, starting at chapter 1, starting at 50. And don't worry about it, because that'll work itself out. It'll come out wash day. If it's good, it'll come out. And if it's not good, it'll come out. You needn't get uneasy about it. It'll flow.
Why are you saying... Remember the numbers, Ion. I listened, but I didn't. Why are you saying
numbers? Numbers, verse chapter 1, verse 50 through 53, we got all the way through to the point that if there's something that comes among us to try to usurp this process, you just smile. It'll work. It'll come out wash day.
Yes, so I
give no attention to it.
What's the song of Moses?
Well, ask Jenny Bell.
Okay, what's the song of Moses, Jenny?
La 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 la.
No, fa so la 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 fa so la la.
There you go. La la. There you go.
Okay, hey Brian, what do you think the song of Moses is? Give us, just open your mouth, it'll come out.
Well, I think it's, I don't know, it comes to me as when, in the supplements, in chapter 23, you know, and fish never ended.
I'd say the song of Moses is my chart.
No, but it all applies to your chart. But the actual song of Moses is one that no man can learn until he gets to the throne.
Is there a song of? Is that phrase in the Bible somewhere? Song of Moses.
Yes,
Bob. It's the song. It's the song that was the song. Something will be.
Okay. Hey, Bob, we got it for you. Chapter 15, verse 3.
Okay.
And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb.
Hey, could you say that again?
Yes. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb.
Now, we agree that the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb, that's all talking about the DNA and the 144,000?
Not necessarily, because, see, that's what's slain on the altar. You have to go back.
Yeah, so what's slain? What is the meaning of the Lamb and when it's slain?
The blood of the Lamb has to be shed, spilt.
And what is that blood that's shed?
Okay, fellers, ladies.
Well, activated DNA in the blood.
Isn't that the later phase? What is the phase before?
Okay, sorry. Chapter 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundations of the world. Now, Jenny Bell, your reference there is Ezekiel 32:32.
Okay, so Ion, you're saying the Lamb, you just did Revelations 13:8. Okay, but what is the blood before it's shed?
Jenny Bell, come on, y'all got to play. So Bob's going to squeeze it. If y'all don't engage, he won't.
Okay. The lamb, the blood of the lamb that was shed before is the sacrifice.
That's correct.
Is it got anything to do with the later DNA, 144,000 blood?
That's perfect. Brian, you know about that. You know about that. Tell about the difference before, when the lamb is on the altar that's before the throne, and the elders and the beast and the elders and the saints and the beast are standing around the throne, and the lamb is slain, and the blood is shed, is a representation of?
It's a representation of that has gotten over the labyrinth mind and has, how did you do that out with the degree, has, I want to say, there's a better phrase than gotten over the 6 degrees of separation of, has,
I thought that the previous state was a fallen state. Is that not the way to look at it?
It's okay.
Well,
if you're going to go there, you got to go to five, chapter five, that, Bob.
Transition. It's the transition. Yeah, I mean, when I see between, you know, the fallen state and you've gotten over severance of your mind and degrees of separation into this, you know, and that's the activation process.
It's the sacrifice of, it's the little lamb, it's the sacrifice of bringing yourself into the ascension process and releasing whatever has gone before that keeps you in your less than state so that you can begin to even apprehend that you may be a god, that this may be a process for you, and that it's the beginning of that resonance with it, but you're not complete in it. You're just bringing the sacrifice of all you've already known to the process so that you can begin the process of ascension.
Why do they call it a sacrifice, Virginia? Why is it called a sacrifice?
Okay.
I would have registered this, Ian. I wanted to say you, however Ian says it. You, after you said all that. After you said all that, Virginia, I'm going, ooh.
Okay. Look
up. You get the joke there? You get the joke?
Yeah, you.
No. I'm vomiting at all that Ginny said. Because it was wordy. It's a joke, Ginny. I'm not reaming you out. It's a joke.
Somebody look up Isaiah 53 verse 7, and then we're going to look at chapter 5 verse 6.
Ion, when you start talking so much, you interrupt the interval so I can't say my jokes. That's not cool. You're talking too much. My joke in.
You did. It was great. We liked
it. Nobody knew what it was.
Bob, I got it. A U is a male goat. Yeah, I got it.
I ain't saying E U E.
No. A U
I'm not
is a
saying
female.
That. No.
A U is a female goat.
Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about that tone of disgust. It's just all that the Ginny said, is that really what we're talking about?
It is exactly, and we're going to reference it now. Now
if you use meaning. Remember, we should be doing angel response here to what we're talking about. We should be in a state of being where we're not identifying with the meanings as they unfold. You guys are angels. I'm talking to you as angels.
Okay. You're absolutely, Bob.
I just want to let's not get too bogged down because we are, I appreciate what I was doing, but we're getting into just listening to Ion elaborate the meaning. Let's go back. How the heck do you get on the throne?
Well, that's not a...
You gotta prepare for that?
You come into your place of power.
How do you do that?
You've gotta do it through the pentad, Bob. There's a standard that you have. Each individual human creator has their own personal standard. They have their own point of reference within the pentad. And from that place, they begin to choose that focal point, and all the other points revolve around it. And in the case of the little lamb, which is the sacrifice, all you're doing is bringing everything that you know that's outside of that pen pad, and you're dropping it so that you can get on the throne, and then you enter into your process. It's that simple.
I put it this way. I'm going to walk down the street. I'm going to encounter somebody I might know. He's going to start talking to me. I'm going to talk back. That interplay involves all the five themes. How much do I in authority to him or be a power? How much do I emanate the new blood of the land? How much do I emphasize my throne and not overlay with his? How much do I acknowledge time? How much do I consider whether this is an angel? All that adjustment, yes, but you do not do that with the person. You do not ignore them.
Well,
you have to fake. You have to emphatically fake involvement. This is being polite, because we're talking about humans getting along and how they get out of the need to get along.
But
it's all about how you get along with your fellow human and what you do when you encounter the stranger on the street. And you're not going to start citing the five pentads. You're going to have to know how to be in each moment.
I know, but Bob, if you're listening for the five pentads, if you know that there are, if you know that that's the fulcrum, and you're listening to the person, and like you said, you meet them where they're at, and they start to allude to their issue with their own powerlessness, their less than faith, or their own physical decline. Or
yes, that's right.
Challenge.
Do you respond to that? Do you say, no, that's where they're at, or maybe I'll try to tell them something, but no, I can't tell them. What do you say? Finnegan's Wake is all revolves around when HCE meets the cad in the park and he asks the cad what time it is. There is a simple interaction of humans. That is the eternal drama that we're all engaged in. So let's remember that. That's being practical. What am I going to say to the postman rings the doorbell and he wants my attention for 10 minutes and I'm on the middle of this. What is the correct way to respond to that? Whether I should even consider a correct way. Let's remember the process of interaction with your fellow humans is what anything that anybody says in the realm of wisdom is about. I do not cite my fitting his way knowledge to the postman. Oh, maybe I will sometime. It's a joke. That's what I meant, Ginny. We can spew off stuff. But it doesn't relate to the next moment of what I'm going to do when something happens around me. How do I react intelligently? And there's no standard for that. We're getting guidelines here about whether you should help or not help and all the implications of that.
I know, but the only thing of it is that in the what Ion had said earlier, which I think was a very cool point, which is that the counsel, the secret of counsel and wisdom, is to be able to interact in the interplay without a dogmatic stance. So you're not positioned on any of it, Bob, and you know that better than anybody. Because
that's what I'm saying right now, yeah.
Okay, so you're the king of not taking a position except against a position, which is great.
No. I take a position. You can't put me in that position either.
That's exactly right.
That's what you're saying, Bob.
That's exactly what I said. How beautiful is that?
Here's an example. We were talking in my little coming into your power class Tuesday, and there was a guy there who has some Indian rituals and does those Indian rituals, and he was going to this place in an altered world. And he was kind of giving his power away, and Virginia just said, no, this was you doing it. Well, maybe. No, not maybe. Yes, it was. So she just took one point, placed her interpretation on it, and he's either going to take it or he's going to reject it. But she's going to state her place without any references to a McLuhanism or a Bible or Revelation. She's just going to say, no. You created this, not maybe, yes you did. And she did that very beautifully. And he just took it in stride. That's a concrete example, Bob, of you being on the street, meeting someone, and you just say your, well, God, I know you're going to jump all over this, your word. your word is, no, you created this. Yes, you did. No, maybe. That was a perfect example of her, of what she's trying to explain here.
Yeah, and what comes to mind is, we see these, the Armageddon scenarios, these, the 911 that's laid out in Revelations, these collectivity issues. It's the collapse. It's these collectivities crashing and colliding in the beginning of the end period, which apparently ended today. That is it. Where did those collectivities happen? When it's really about the stranger, the Samaritan meeting the stranger, or whatever that parable was, you know, and whether to help the guy on the street, the Good Samaritan. The simple interaction of two people is what it was for original man, or for humans, if there ever was a point. When there weren't millions of people. It's the clash of these linguistic institutions. It's what Christianity per se deals with.
I know, but just like Dion said, the remedy for that is you gotta teach him the Song of Moses, you gotta give him the showbread, and you gotta deliver it to him. That's the remedy. So the Song of Moses is not words, it's a song. The showbread, and get it out there to the people, and then they get to choose, because like I said, human creators are powerful enough to keep themselves in bondage, to see it all day, every day. So as long as we're in our place of joy, doing what we love to do, and we're doing our little piece, just like you're doing your little piece, everybody wins or not, but it's all good.
Yeah, and I'm applying it to what we're analyzing. Ion is bringing in the interpersonal wisdom, the secret council of your sovereignty in relation to major media archetypes, which is the problem that led John to write this thing, and what Nostradamus saw.
I know, but Bob, that's your job, is to merge the five bodies into one, remember?
No, I don't have jobs.
Okay, just so we're all clear. Just so we all know.
Yes. I just think what I'm just saying is relevant to juxtapose against the point about one person meeting another person.
My take on this, Bob, and where I am is, as you come more and more into your place of power, and when you come across somebody, as you're saying, on the street, or you interact, you will see their place. You'll know your place, and you'll see. And you'll act accordingly. You'll know, look, this guy's in whatever place he is, you're gonna recognize it, and, you know, you're gonna, the way I see it, you're gonna know that you're not gonna quote,
answer an unasked question.
There you go. That's perfect. Answer any unasked question. That is perfect. Perfect word, Greg Sanders. Good.
Right, so what I'm seeing is that what we're analyzing here is, you know, that old statement, ontogeny replays phylogeny, the development of the individual replays the development of the species. So you got two parallel tracks. You got the word of collectivities, which is the accumulation of humans interacting and then hanging around each other and not maintaining their sovereignty, plus the truth of what one is no matter what. It's only your world, it's always only your world, and how you can have your throne. There's parallel discourse is going on here. Would you agree with that, Ion?
Of course.
In the Book of Revelations. So we might want to indicate which track when we're commenting. It's the Book of Revelation is a wall. It's been solidified. So the mortar is all the Armageddon institutions that we're watching and those causing that, the war in Iraq or whatever. And then you have the private kingship that's happening, or queenship, these two, and that's in the world of stone. So you got stone and mortar. We are dismantling the wall, the mortar that made the wall, the 2,000-year Bible story, which we discussed at the very beginning. We're working these two tracks. We might want to say, okay, I'm addressing mortar now, and say your bit. Then you say, I'm addressing word, stone, personal sovereignty in this part. We're juggling the two discourses here.
Okay, now, Bob, this is the only thing that I would say, and Ion, I'm asking for you to correct it in case I do say it improperly. What I'm starting to think or believe or know about this whole interaction is that in the world of language, which I have extracted myself from because I'm in my process of ascension, my words are the utterance of the kingship words, and I don't have to worry about what I'm addressing because I know that my words are the utterance that is bringing forth that word, the creative word. So I don't have to question, am I in the world of language or am I in the world of the word? Because I am the word. The word becomes flesh. That's our whole process.
I think Ion has said that the world of mortar and stone is merging.
You know,
Ion?
Mortar and stone is not merging. It's separating. Language is going away. Words are becoming more powerful.
I would agree with that. I call
that merging. They're not merging.
And I call that the unfolding of the mystery landscape. Mystery would be more into individual sovereignty because no one can gauge what anybody is doing in that path.
Great. Until it becomes known and then everybody knows.
That's correct. Because Steve Ion's also said the world of contracts is collapsing because that's the world of language. So you would enter into contracts and da-da-da-da-da, and this is what's going on with the whole mortgage banking industry and blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. And so
neither a borrower nor a lender be clearly laid out.
There you go. So the whole thing is about your individual sovereign words, your own universe creating. And as I am in that process and I'm aware that that's what's happening, then that is what I will bring forth. And the world of language is collapsing and will be superseded by this world that has no words.
Right. Now, we go back an hour. Ion said an interesting thing. I'm responding to what you're saying. He said, what about the new Tower of Babel? What's interesting is that the world of mortar language has merged to create a perfect collective Esperanto that Ion can enter and say, dispense the wisdom. So the Endramim has built itself so that it can suicide itself, but at least provide the service that everybody can hear this personal truth, what do you want to call it, the Ion truth, before it collapses, before the Endramim collapses. That may be the good, the useful part of the Tower of Babel, the new Tower of Babel.
Well, and that would be its reasonable service.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, Brian. Mm-hmm. We were going back to the Lamb and the reference that we were back before in chapter 5 of the sealed book, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a Lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, and which the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book, the scroll, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Now, there's where you're... Who did we lose?
No, I'm here. Greg's here.
Is Jenny here?
I'm here.
So it was Brian.
Let's wait on him a minute, because this was the cleaning. What this is fixing to clean up is the difference between language and
stone. I see that.
Clean up language and what, Ion? The stone?
Yeah, that, the mortar. Language is mortar, stone is word.
Thank you. I just didn't hear it, Bob.
I'll repeat this for Brian, but I was just about to say, wow, that quote you just said applies to what we were just talking about.
Imagine that, Bob.
Ion can be useful.
Ion, you're really hot tonight.
Yeah, you're on a roll tonight, Ion.
For such an hour as this.
So much more.
What is that in Revelation, so I can note that?
Oh, it's in, like we said, chapter 5, verse 6.
Oh, okay. 5, verse 6. I had 5 down before, but I didn't have the number. So, you got the little book, you got the lamb, you got the beast. So the beast...
This is the sealed book. This is the sealed book. It's not the little book. That's about Reggie.
Right. The beast and elders have something to do with this mortar stone thing, right?
Certainly, Bob.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now, you know, Brian can always be, he could be gone for 20 minutes. I don't know if he stopped his truck, but he could.
He's not in his truck. He's at home.
Oh, okay.
He's good.
He just had his change up.
So if his batteries, I mean, I don't know what people use today. If his battery's out, he puts the batteries in, or he has another phone being energized, like we do?
You just plug it out.
How does he get his dead phone going again?
Hello, back.
Right, Brian. What do you do to your phone to get back?
I don't
put batteries.
No, this one here. I got to put it on a charger to plug it in.
Okay, so you plug it in for how long?
Well, he
can talk, Bob, while it's plugged into his charger.
Yeah. Oh, so it's been put someplace.
If it goes out, I connect my mic and then just talk directly on the phone.
Okay.
So is your mic
Brian, here's where we are. You were asking about the land, and we came to, and we were talking about mortar as language and stones as creation. Chapter 5, the sealed book. Verse 6. And how far along did we get before you bleeped out?
Read it again, Ian.
Okay.
Yeah.
And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book, or the scroll, out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, Jenny Bell, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, this is the Lamb that we're talking about. And it's mingled. The blood of the Lamb is a part of all of the blood, because the original power as God was mingled through all people. So the reference here, the blood of the Lamb, which was the question that we were posing to Brian, because that was his point of interest of connection, separate from the throne issue of the human creator coming into their place of power, is the reference. So the blood of the Lamb, Bob, is not the 144,000 DNA. The blood of the Lamb represents when humans were in their place of power, what that blood looks like.
Oh, of course.
I mean, when they were in their power, it went before the fall, is what the blood of the Lamb is the pre-fall blood.
Yes, and you have to have that to judge if you're worthy to sit on the throne or not.
You have to have that to do the judgment.
To see if you're, quote, ascended or not.
You have to have that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do have it. We do have it, right?
We do. You know where we got it?
Well, isn't it a symbol for non-physical?
Where did you get it? No.
Where did you get it at?
Isaiah 53, verse 7.
We have to look back to the place where we were pre-fall
to triangulate the place of our knowingness now, and it's a it's a remembering, because we've all been there, done that. It's a memory.
Okay. Yes, in that remembrance. Now we in Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to start in verse 6.
Hey, Ion. You could not get into the New Jerusalem unless you had access and were part of the pre-fall condition, and everybody has that.
It's your access code, Bob.
It's the access code, right?
Now here we go. This syncs it up. All we like. I'm sorry.
No, man, Bob, you'll like this.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his goddamn mouth. Oh, wait, we added that little part. And he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So when you're talking to the postman, you don't have to say nothing.
Yeah.
Right. All that worry about interaction, just to blow it out the door, because it ain't, there's no ears to hear. And what, by the way, I'm an expert on throwing pearls to swine. So
Lord, bless your heart, baby. Yes, yes, Lord, have mercy. That's right.
I am an expert on pearls to swine.
Right.
That's it.
So what were you quoting? What's the coordinates of that verse?
That would be Isaiah 53:6-7. And it's very interesting, but now we didn't want to bore you with the rest of it, but it was pretty good stuff.
And I quoted Greg chapter 2, verse 7, Bob.
Yeah.
See, so now there's a syncing up going on here, and Jenny, you're kind of giggly here, girl. We get this. Because every point, and Bob, you're absolutely perfect in putting this together, because were you not avidly squeezing this to the point to fruition, you'd miss something. And that's what this interaction's doing best, is point by point by point by point by point, cleaning it up, make a mess, clean it up, make a mess, clean it up, lather, rinse, repeat. Then after a little bit, just as we've sort of laid out, there's nothing else to do. That's right. The trick of this. It's to get, Brian, as you well know, get to the throne. Get to the, right, to the altar. Get the blood of the Lamb. Let them bow before you. Come into your Godship. Get on with the fun of having fun, and then whatever you contain in your world, each is set to his own. Please yourself. And then you won't have to have that interaction. Now, Bob, you're right. Now, there's nothing wrong with interacting. But at the same time, there's no reason to take the pearl of great price and, you know, slop the hogs with it. It's not required.
Emphasizing the withdrawal from the world of language is an antidote to this thing, but once you understand that, then you can engage with people.
Exactly. That's exactly right, because they are where they are, and you take them at that level, and just and love, 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 love them right wherever they are. And if they, what they don't get, that's perfectly all right, and what they do get, that's perfectly all right. And it becomes the engagement of the fastest path to your own joy, which is, allows you that joyful obedience. We've said that about 1,216,499 times so far, for that process. And that obedience is subject only to yourself. Because, hell, you've got the elders, and you got the angels, and you got the beast bowing before you, damn self. Who else needs to bow? So when we make the statement of when something's going on, you walk in and you say, hey, I got this. stand back and watch the miracle-working power of an ever-loving God, they'll bow.
Hey,
because that's not authority, that's power.
Right. Listen to this. You take the five parts of the pentad. Power and authority deals with the world of language. Time deals with the world of language. So that's the mortar. Then the stone world is your own blood of the lamb, your DNA, and your throne. So you've got 2 points, time and power on the mortar side. You have the DNA, blood of the lamb, throne on the stone side. In between the two is the angels.
And see, Jenny laid it out as the center or the fulcrum that that balance is on. We don't disagree, but having a different conversation with someone having a different pinnacle in the middle, okay, that could shift. And that's what Jenny was acknowledging, is that for her, if she gets that, she knows all the rest of it is already cleaned up. And like
right.
Brian was saying, if I can get to the throne, all those details will work themselves out, and the angels will...
Well, here's a detail. The reason the angels are in the interval between the private stone world and the public mortar language world is the angels are the only medium of exchange that actually can affect someone else's life. You know, only the angels can smote someone else. You can't kill somebody, but you can get
That's
an angel
correct.
To do it. So it's very, that explains the role of the angels. They're in the interval, in the confusing interplay of your own creation and the interaction with the group.
Says it's riddled all through the Bible, and Jenny can stand as a good reference that anytime some big nasty something needs to get done, God summons the angel to do the business.
So the word you now, use there? To do the business.
To do whatever needs to be doing.
Okay, I just didn't hear your last word.
Yeah.
Right.
Smoting, the angel of the Lord come down and smote hell out of them.
Yeah, now the other day we had a session, private session with Deborah West, and it was so good, we decided we're going to make it public, and she reviewed it, and there's just a few little points to delete that are not comfortable for other people to hear that she's connected to. But we ended up in a very, she extended for 2 hours, we ended up in a very good discussion that I was really interested, and at the end I started saying, so angels are the world of media. And what I was getting at is now clarified. The angels are that interface between that world of collectivity and language and mortar with the private world. And so any part of the media language world that's solid, that role is done by angels. So television are angels. See, it's very interesting that the media is angels.
Television are angels. You mean angels are television?
Something like that. They're both. I'm talking about this interface, and the angels relate to you personally, and they relate to the other world, other person, or something that they take your beck and your order. So they're the way of, they're the bridge, and all media are bridges. So it's really interesting. The angel is a representative of the bridge. And a bridge can be a metaphor. The public language becomes solid mortar when the metaphor becomes stronger than your own word power. And that goes back to what we were saying an hour ago about metaphor versus fact.
Well, why am I not getting that the metaphor could be stronger than your word power?
That's because it's the difference between language.
You get stuck in language. You get stuck in the metaphor, in the sign, in the symbol.
You use powerful words to necessitate language, and that's the issue.
Right.
But most people don't know what the hell even their powerful words mean. Half the people you talk to, it's just they're using words that have no, that aren't even...
Yeah, because they're lost in the world of mortar, in the world of metaphor.
What do you mean, Greggy? OMG, what is the BFD?
Hey, Ian, he went, aha, I think you got me, right, Greg? You got what I said.
Yeah, I did get that.
Good. Okay, I just want to register that, Ion. Then what were you saying, Ion?
And then when he says, what do you mean, Greggy? OMG, exactly what is the BFD? Those aren't words.
That's metaphor.
And it's also what the society's moving to. LMAS, what is it, laughing my ass off?
Yeah.
They're leaving words because language is fucking them. So they're going to word. They're going to just simple letters to avoid language altogether. And the only issue with that is now you have to attach a word to the letters to give it credence. But yet everybody knows what BTW means.
And when we remove the body language and we remove the emotion from the voice or from the spoken word, then haven't we not diminished tremendously what it is we're trying to impart?
Language.
Greg, what'd you say? You remove what? What did you remove?
You remove body language and you remove emotion from your communication. So what do we have left but a small emphatic that can be interpreted a million ways to Sunday? And I think what I'm sensing here, that's a more clear form of communication than trying to get into a million word dialogue on
Absolutely.
A telephone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, language is...
I listened to a reporter who was kidnapped in Afghanistan, and he was held by the Taliban, who were completely illiterate. They wanted him to convert to Islam, and he said, I could not lie to these people. They would know I was lying because they were illiterate. All they had to rely on was their vision, their spoken word.
You mean illiterate?
Oh, sorry, yes. I meant illiterate. So he knew if he was attempting to convert to Islam and hadn't truly converted, they would have killed him because he would say, yes, I believe in Muhammad, and they would know instinctively that he was lying.
Well, they would believe in Allah. By the words of Muhammad, because otherwise they'd kill you for that too. See how tricky this shit gets if you're dealing with language, but when you bring it back into just the word, then very easily what happens is he could have clearly laid it out in such a way that Allah would be praised, okay, and not convert to nothing.
Okay. Because Allah is another metaphor for your...
And if you're strolling along and you actually find your dick in the dirt, you have the power to call the angels and smote their damn ass. And then there won't be no big discussion about it. They come on, Taliban, let's play. Me or you one, sticks and get a whipping. I don't know which one, but he that's in me is greater than all y'all put together. So
yeah, that's
bring it on.
Taliban or any kind... Go ahead. What?
Go ahead. I was just going to say, how could John of Patmos done this differently?
Well,
That's a new. I just want to say to supplement what we've said. The Taliban represent the extreme allegiance to the language.
Yes, very good, very good. Because you got to remember when John was in hiding, writing this language, laying it out. He was in hiding. Because his language would certainly have him done away with.
But if they're illiterate, Bob, if Taliban's illiterate, how can they be reading the Quran?
They don't. They speak the Quran.
Oh, thank you. Got it.
They're zombies, replays of the oral tradition, the old hypnosis, the old media, the old metaphor. And that's an identity crisis of that part of the world's language. Just like, you know, Christian fundamentalism is the printed book's identity of Christ.
And the reference that you'll find for what Bob's talking about is with Ham, Shem, and Japheth.
Yeah.
That's where that separation starts falling into the different outside tribal literacy is referenced.
That's the first kind of scene on the first page of Finnegan's Wake. The three sons seeing Noah being drunk. I think it was Noah.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't drunk. It was he's naked.
That's right.
Naked.
Yeah.
That's right.
Right.
And
right.
So what they did was to cover their papa's nakedness. See, before that it wasn't a problem, but after that it was a problem. They backed in with a fur sable, we're sure, or at least a ranch mink, backed him up and covered up his nakedness. So that he wouldn't be defiled in their eyes.
Okay, now I'm going to bring it around, see if this works. The modern vessels of the tabernacle is the Android meme, which allows kids to communicate with less language and just use, iconography, laughing my ass off. The diminishing of language out provided by the Android meme is a vessel of preparation to move into the mystery landscape as a known situation. The last 30 years of the Android meme has been that's part of the meaning of my chart. It's a preparation working through because you couldn't get right into it in the 50s and 60s. They thought they got there, but then they had a period of learning and resonant interval, and that was the replay by the Android meme. And you see the proof of that because it got to the point where the kids are engaging in the Android meme, less language, and skeletal alphabet. Like very flimsy. Well, I'll make a token effort to engage in the world of Mortar. And the technology has allowed us to get to that point. Could that be a vessel on the collective level in the world of Mortar, a vessel of the tabernacle?
If you want to look at it that way, the example of that be all your super duper fat cat rich people don't even have college degrees.
Right. So Ion shows up. You know, Alice Bailey, the Theosophist, says that says that the second coming, and she meant Jesus Christ, what happened on the radio. Ion's not happening on the radio. Ion's happening in the Android meme. It's interesting that Ion, as the iconic representation of our own individual word power, shows up at the extreme point of the Antichrist, or what you want to call the beast and the matrix and all that, to come right in the middle of it and begin to melt everything to assist the melting that the media will, to assist the melting that we yearn for.
Okay, Brian?
Yes.
Now, is this what you had in mind?
This whole, our series tonight?
Is this what you, when you had a desire, is this that desire?
Absolutely it is.
Is there more?
Is there more? What mean by, is there more to cover, or what do you say? What, I don't understand.
Well, no. From your desire of having a way to engage and gain even more insights than has already been displayed, okay, that there's been more cleanup yet with the little ticklers that were left that you've engaged with the Revelation series. There's even more insight that's opened up. Now, is there even beyond this insight that you've gained so far? Well, let's say it a different way. What else do you want to know, Brian?
Well, I mean, specifically, there's more to cover. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
I would say there's much, much more to cover. But and then
Brandon.
That's the point. And we'll get to it. But what's happening now, and this whole engagement, it's just great. This will get us to the more.
Yes.
I think it's fantastic. I mean, it's just, I love it.
But this is what you had in mind when you wanted some like-minded somebodies to chat with regarding this, what you've embraced as it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. All right, Jenny Bell.
Yes, Ion.
Now, in this interactive flow, there's been even fuller things laid out as far as a scripted edict regarding this pentad of theocracy.
Very
talking
cool.
Talking about wordy words.
Very cool.
What fullness from the script so far has been left untouched?
The Song of Moses.
Yeah, very good. All right, so we'll play with that more fully and completely.